it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Fryer, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
NFL linebacker KJ Wright joining me here on The Score. I've heard people speculate that the guys on the defense in those Seattle teams didn't like Russ. Set the record straight. How did you feel about Russ, and what was he like as a teammate?
Who you hear that from?
I've heard it from a lot of people, man. I've heard that there are some folks that didn't like that Russ had as much money and power and control as he did. So I want to know, man, you were in that locker room. What's the deal?
I'll say this. I would say that, defensively speaking, a lot of guys on the defense felt like, okay, the success that we're having is from us and from Marshawn. And from the outside world, it's looking like Russ is the guy that's getting these wins. And so I like Russell. I like Russell, but it's just when, you know, the media gets involved, money gets involved, a lot of opinions start getting involved as well. And so he was part of the guys, and it was just unfortunate that those questions got raised because he was right there in the trenches with us. A lot of guys felt like he wasn't being held accountable the way that the defensive players were.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Sounds like we got our answer, huh?
It's a good day here at The Score. We celebrate our teammate, Layla.
Face up!
Yo, my name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We are going to talk with the Hall of Famer, Dan Pompey, about Bears management, and we are learning in the first few months of new Bears management more than we learned in 7 years of old Bears management. I think that that's a good thing. We're super late for a break because we were being goofballs, and that's okay because you probably enjoyed it. We're going to take a break, and you're probably not going to enjoy the subject matter that we're going to discuss next, but we got to discuss it. The Bulls got ran last night. Jim Ozarski was in the building. He's going to talk to me about it next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
War with a spin on Troy Brown Jr. up and good. Nice play. And then we got something going on with Thompson and Ibaka and the officials running over along with the coaching staff to separate the two as Thompson and Ibaka got tangled up and then Ibaka slapped Thompson on the back, and they're going to have to look at this as both players were just trying to establish position.
Special technique of shadow boxing.
I mean, they definitely weren't shadow boxing. There could have been some real damage when those two big boys got after it last night. Our buddy Jim Ozarski, who covers the Milwaukee Bucks for the Journal Sentinel, was there. He got to see it up close. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. See, we brought you in with some Wu-Tang, sir.
Oh, I love it. It's a dream fulfilled. I got in my bio. I'm like, man, when's Lawrence going to get me on for a Wu-Tang Wednesday?
And see, here you are. It's Wu-Tang Wednesday, and we're here to talk about the throttling that happened to the Chicago Bulls last night. Now this team is 0-16 against the top three seeds in the East and in the West. I felt like the game was over at the end of the first quarter. How did Milwaukee go about dominating them without Chris Middleton?
Yeah, you're right. It did feel that way. And while the Bulls did cut it to 10, in the third, it never really felt like they were in it. And I'm going to flip it more so, Lawrence, to the other side of the court, which is defense. The last two games against the Bulls, they have really, the Bucks meaning, have really, really put the clamps on DeMar DeRozan.
You know, that first game in Milwaukee back in January, the Grayson Allen, Alex Caruso game, if you will. You know, DeRozan had, 35 points? He shot 18 free throws in a Bucks loss, or in a Bulls loss, excuse me. And the Bucks just are like, that can't happen again. So DeRozan, 5 free throws at the UC, 0 free throws last night. Zach LaVine also had to work real hard to get his shots and his points. And on a smaller level, Lawrence, I mean, Kobe White, Io, non-factors in these three games. These are guys who, you know, generally speaking, when the Bulls play well, they score. So I'm gonna put it more on the Bucks' perimeter defense, not fouling, and just being able to prevent the Bulls from really, you know, putting any sort of sustained runs together, any sort of rhythm offensively.
How great is it for Milwaukee to have a player like Drew Holiday that can play in the background if you want, and if Chris Middleton's out, he can go out there and get you buckets?
It's I don't know how many non-NBA diehards knew who Drew Holiday was. I mean, all those years in New Orleans, you know, he made an all-star team in Philly, you know, but he was part of the breakdown there to start the process. I mean, we're talking almost a decade ago. And yeah, can you think of a more underrated or unknown third guy of a big three, so to speak? And yet he shows up in Milwaukee first year, Lawrence, and they win a chip. Like, that's the bar now for that three. And Drew Holiday is that guy for the Bucks. You're right. He's that lockdown corner, right? He's that guy who now the other team has to throw it the other way. And he can guard anyone. And that game in January, Lawrence, he took Vooch one-on-one in the post when the Bulls needed a bucket, to the point where Vooch had to kick it out and DeMar DeRozan ends up having to shoot a contested three over Giannis. I mean, that alone shows you how good of a defender that guy is, let alone the one who could score 12 points in 5 minutes to end that thing last night.
Now that we've got almost an entire season under our belt, we don't have to look at this as far as small sample sizes anymore when we talk about the Bulls. What do you think of them?
Yeah, it's turned on me a little bit. I thought for a large part of the year they were the surprise in the league to me. I didn't think, you know, we're part of the USA Today family. When we did our sort of playoff predictions, I had the Bulls at the bottom of the making the playoffs, but not a top seed. So I just didn't think it would all come together in 1 year the way it did. And lo and behold, they were running the East for how long? Have they regressed? Are they playing more to what they are? I don't know. With Lonzo Ball being out, all of their injuries and illnesses, I don't know if they're – I think what's more surprising, unless we're talking about this in the press box, 0-16 against the top three teams in the conference. Like, you figure you're going to run into a dub just on accident, right, in one of those. So I don't know. I think the Bulls are a good team. I think that they're putting some good pieces together. I don't know, Lawrence, if this is just – this is the first year of those guys together. So when they play the real good teams who have been together, Utah, Milwaukee, Phoenix, you know, Miami, frankly, like, are those squads just showing how you kind of need a year or two together? That I don't know. You know, I think the Bulls are good. They have good talent. I'm a little confused as to why they haven't been able to beat anyone of note, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a very, very strange thing for sure. What are the folks in Milwaukee? I mean, it's kind of an under the radar town, and it's weird that the reigning NBA champion would be under the radar, but it seems to be that's the case. Like, Phoenix has had this incredible season. The moves that are made in the other teams in the East, like Brooklyn and Philly, and Giannis just keeps churning out great performances.
Yeah, they are. I mean, if you can be under the radar as a champion, I think they are. And they're just not a sexy team. I mentioned, you know, a more under the radar, underappreciated third member of a big three. I mean, Chris Middleton, that's assuming people knew who Chris Middleton is. I mean, he's a 3-time All-Star, and he broke Ray Allen's club record for threes. I mean, he's a dude, right? But I don't know if nationally people know or care. Giannis, yes, he's an MVP, but he's not the personality of name 10 other stars. I mean, he'll go viral. He's a funny guy. He'll have a dad joke, but he's not out there on a regular basis. They just kind of keep winning, Lawrence. They've been doing this for 3 years. I think four years ago when they won 60-plus games and Giannis won his first MVP, they just sort of caught the league by storm. And you maybe got a little bit of a national attention, if you will. But now, yeah, they're just not sexy. It's not James Harden and Joel Embiid. It's not vaccination issues. It's not Miami Jimmy Butler, he's and P.J. Tucker and Eric Spoelstra are stars in a different kind of way that they just get attention, but the Bucks are cool with that. You know, they feel it on a regular basis. I will say that. They've had some weird losses this year, Lawrence, where the other it meant something to the other team to beat Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen it on the court. I don't think that happens from the players, but definitely, like, media-wise in our business, they've kind of floated.
You good?
Of course.
All right.
Of course, man. This is it's been good. I mean, I won't mind. Speaking of Miami, they want to go down there for a little bit in the playoffs.
That could be fun for you. Yes.
I'm a little tired of 35 degrees.
Yeah, I feel you on that. That's for sure. Once the Bucks are done with their run, we should probably have a football conversation.
Oh, 100%.
All right. Let's do that.
Wild.
All right, brother. Oh, yeah. Be good, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Of course, Lawrence. Talk to you soon.
That is Jim Ozarski from the Journal Sentinel. I enjoy his football thoughts too, because he covered the league for a very, very long time. We need to take a break. Brandon, when we come back, can we come back with the 2 minute? Because I need to talk about what happened to the Bulls last night in context. We'll do that next here on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It's time for the 2 minute report. 2 minutes.
What?
Not one, but two.
Oh, say less.
It's time for the 2 minute report on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can't wait.
Allen holding and looking, finds Connaughton, left elbow for three. Got it. A catch and shoot. Pat Connaughton, a very viable player coming off the bench. Here's a 4-on-3 for the Bulls. Giannis circle left, the no-look pass to Ibaka with a ball fake and a right-handed dunk. And the Bucks on a run here. They've scored the last 9 points. Gives it up now to Lopez. Wide open right side three. Brook Lopez in rhythm and nails it. Giannis just bullying his way and threw it down for the left-handed dunk on Thompson. Wow. Directing traffic out in front, Drew Holiday. Holiday off the screen from Connaughton. Now they got Thompson playing Holiday in a crossover. Baseline right. The fade, the fire. 13-footer to end the third quarter up and good. Drew Holiday. Giannis with the rush. Giannis over the timeline. Left corner pass, Javon Carter. Open three good on a drawing kick from Giannis Antetokounmpo to Javon Carter. So the Bucks bounce back after losing to Minnesota. And Milwaukee will win for the 45th time this year. Io walking over the Bucks logo in left forecourt. Disappointing many fans, Bulls fans here in Milwaukee in front of a sellout of 21,778.
It really felt like our guys battled and they fought and they competed and they really tried. But I think playing against a team like this, you get to see that when you're not shooting it well, it's not even necessarily, oh, you got to play defense. It's like beyond that. Like you can't have breakdowns. Like it's got to be five guys on a string. Everybody's got to be working together. And there were some moments it was really good. And then there were some moments, like I said, it wasn't so good.
No, it's definitely not a talent issue at all, you know, because we proved we are a great team. Just execution, like you said, especially when you're playing against top-notch teams. You know, I understand the excitement every time they step out there on the court. 1 through 5, those teams are always on the stream. You know, we show it through spurts of a game. But the good teams, you know, that go far, do it as close to 48 minutes as possible, not just a quarter, half a quarter. You know, you really got to be as close to perfect of a 48-minute game as possible.
And the Bulls were not that. Highlights courtesy of The Score. Chuck and Bill on the call. Look, if you lose a few games to the top teams in the league, you can go, oh, well, you know, this team was coming off of this, or there was the back-to-back this. They caught them at the right time. You lose 16 games to the top three seeds in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, it really does give you an idea of where the Bulls are at. Like, when you start thinking about what it is that they can be. I keep thinking about the Bulls in relationship to the White Sox. Like, how last season there'd be these things that you couldn't make any determination on from that one individual game. You're like, oh, well, and there's them losing another series on the road. But then at the end of the season, you were able to stack some of that stuff together and go, this team struggles against creative pitching and teams that play good defense and playing on the road. And then what happened in the playoffs? Now, it's not entirely fair to say this plus this equals this. But when I start looking at the Bulls, I go, this team seems to continually hit their ceiling when it's the other good teams in the league. And what makes me angry is not them losing to Milwaukee. It's them having the good game in between getting dog walked by Phoenix and getting dog walked by Milwaukee. Milwaukee won every quarter of yesterday's game. Every quarter. If you'd have bet that on FanDuel yesterday, you could have made some real money that they won every quarter. It's upsetting and disheartening to now see, oh, well, now you've got some of those pieces back that you keep telling me is the difference between you being pretty good and very good. You have Caruso back, and you put him in the starting lineup, and he didn't in this game pay as big a dividends offensively for you. You got Patrick Williams back. He's supposed to be out there helping you on Giannis. Giannis went 27-15 and didn't really play the fourth quarter. So it just looks like a lot of these data points are telling us how good the Bulls are. And now there's a sprint, 10 games left, to see where you're going to end up. I have more on the Bulls in the 1 o'clock hour. Coming up next, Dan Pompey wrote a piece about the Bears front office. It's really fascinating, and I think it might give you some hope. I'll talk with Dan next here on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.